Well, this morning we come to message four. The title is Christ as the Center of the Processed Triune God. Amen. A relatively simple title. At a glance, it may not seem that much to you, but I believe as we go into this, we will realize this matter touches something so wonderful, so deep, so profound concerning Christ. We have been on this subject of the all-inclusive Christ. We enjoy Him. We experience Him. But what kind of a Christ is He? Of course, we have heard from the previous three messages that Christ as the living star, Christ as our, in message two, And also last night, as this wonderful name, right? Jesus Emmanuel. So far, we do enjoy this Christ to be such a supply, enjoyment, healing, and rest to us. But this Christ is more than that. This Christ, who is all-inclusive, He is for the fulfillment of God's eternal economy. This morning we are seeing from this message something so profound concerning Christ as the one who is the center, the focal point of the processed triune God for the fulfillment of His eternal purpose. Eventually, as we'll reach, when we reach the end of the outline, we'll see that the consummation of the city, New Jerusalem, the building and the builder God, is altogether a result of Christ being the center of this process triune God. Surely, the Bible reveals to us our God is uniquely one, but also He is three. He is one, yet three. He is three, yet one. Three as the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But these three are not three separate entities, not three separate persons, per se. For centuries, Bible students, theologians, try to explain such a mystery. How can someone be one, yet three, and three, yet one? So they use words such as essence, substance, and even using this Greek word, hypostasis, to describe this mystery. God is one. In essence, He is uniquely one. Even though He is revealed as the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, but they are just one. There's one God. So in essence, He is one. But in substance, they are not the same. They are distinct. The Father and the Son and the Spirit are distinctively three, but not separate, not separable. They cannot be separated. They are just one. And they use the word hypostasis or hypostasis, a Greek word, to describe this mystery like a table having three legs. Hypo means from beneath. Stasis means support. It's like a table with three legs. Supported, it's one table supported by three legs. To describe such a mysterious revelation, Our God is one yet three, and three yet one. So they coined the word triune. We call him triune God, three one God. And he is our Christ. He is the center. He is the focal point of this processed triune God. This triune God, as the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, is not for doctrinal debates, as been among many theologians, Bible teachers, for the past centuries. They have been in this realm of trying to reason, trying to understand. Dear saints, the triune God, it is actually the basic structure of the whole Bible. The triune God is not for man to just study and reason and understand. The triune God is revealed in order to carry out God's purpose of working himself into man.
Amen.
God is triune so that our God can dispense himself into man to accomplish his good pleasure, his eternal will. It is something not in the realm of knowledge or just in the realm of doctrine, but it is altogether in the realm of experience and enjoyment. We see the triune God revealed in the whole Bible from the very first verse to the very last verse. The Bible opens up by saying, in the beginning, God. That word God in Hebrew is Elohim, but not in singular tense, but in plural. Why would such a God, Elohim, be in plural? He is not a single God. He is a triune God. Such a God who begins, who created the heavens and the earth. When you reach the end of the Bible, what does the last verse say? It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all the saints. Amen. That's how the Bible ends. The Bible ends with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Who is the Lord Jesus? That Lord Jesus is the very God who created in the very beginning. Amen. Now that very God who started all, everything, through the processes he went through, consummated to become the grace, the enjoyment of this wonderful one, the Lord Jesus, and is with all the saints. Not with all the people, but with all the saints. The saints who have received the triune God, this process triune God, into them. So when you read the Bible, actually, whether in the Old Testament, New Testament, you see that actually the triune God mentioned everywhere, in so many places. If you take away the triune God, the Bible becomes just an empty storybook. Just God doing this, man needing this. Just a book full of religious teachings and doctrines. But my, the Bible tells us, not just God, but the triune God. The one who passed through a process and eventually consummated in order to dispense himself, to work himself into man, to produce an organism and ultimately a building, as an eternal mutual dwelling place for God and man for his eternal expression. This puts meaning to our life. This puts meaning to the whole universe. This is what we are here for. We are not here for just to have some knowledge and teachings. We are here for God's economy, for the fulfillment of His economy, that He can gain this organism, this eternal habitation, the building of God and man. This is why we are here. So we need to see this morning, this very Christ, He is the center, He is the focal point of this process, triune God. Don't be intimidated by this matter. I know many saints, when they heard about the triune God, they are taken back. This is too complicated for me. I'm not in a theological school. Forget about that. We are not here to talk about theology. We're here to talk about the triune God to be enjoyed by us. Amen. Experienced by us to produce this organism, this mutual dwelling place, the building of God and man. Amen. Although this, the triune God is mentioned throughout the whole Bible, sometimes it's mentioned in an implied way. When the Father, the Son, and the Spirit is revealed, not explicitly, sometimes implicitly, implied, and sometimes it's scattered, a verse here, a verse there. But in the New Testament, there is a wonderful verse. Wonderful verse. What is that? Matthew 28:19. I think nearly all the saints are very familiar with this verse. What does it say? Can you all read together with me? What is it? Matthew 28:19 says,
"Go therefore and disciple all
the nations, baptizing
them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit."
This verse has been considered by many Christians as the Great Commission, which is true, that we are charged to go to disciple the nations. But included in this verse is a marvelous mine with precious treasure, revealing to us the triune God explicitly, definitely, clearly, that we are here not just to go disciple the nations, baptizing them. Baptizing them in what way? We are baptizing them into this wonderful person, into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I pray this morning that after, through this message, Matthew 28:19 will be a new verse to us.
Amen.
It's not just a verse to receive a charge, to receive a commission, to do something, to go to preach the gospel. Yes, we need to do that. But we need to preach the gospel, baptizing people into something too wonderful, into a marvelous person, the triune God, who has a name, one name, for these three parties, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. This is what Matthew 28:19 is about. It's not merely about our going to do something, but to our preaching of the gospel, our baptizing people must be for the issue, bringing forth of something involving the triune God, involving this precious name of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the first point tells us the clearest revelation of the divine Trinity is in Matthew 28:19. We read this. This is the clearest word in the whole Bible. You don't have to look for, put all the verses together in different places. Right here in one spot, you see the triune God. in their entirety, very clearly and definitely. Now, he says, into the name denotes the person. Last night, we had a wonderful message concerning the name. Jesus was given the name. There's a name upon which we can call, through which we are saved. There's a name to our triune God. We are baptizing people not just in that name. We are baptizing people into the name. The name denotes a person. To be baptized is to be baptized into the name, the person of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, into the organic union with the process triune God. Amen. The name here is not just an empty designation. The name denotes a person. Christianity practices baptism. We do also. We baptize people nearly every week. But when we baptize people, do we have the conviction? Do we have the assurance? We are not baptizing, putting people, just initiating them into our church, into the Christian faith. We are here to actually, when we put this certain person into the water, we are putting them into this wonderful person. Amen. Father, Son, and Spirit, the triune God. To bring them into an organic union. I still pray the Lord would recover this matter of baptism among us. Many times I feel we baptize people so too lightly, as if just carrying out some kind of a formality, some kind of a routine. The ones baptizing, the ones being baptized, should have the full assurance as they are being put into the water. They are being put into the triune God. Into the wonderful person of the triune God to enter into an organic union. What is an organic union? Organic union is best illustrated, I feel, by the process of grafting. The grafting of two trees, two plants. You have plant A and plant B. These two trees may have some different conditions, characteristics, but similar in family. Well, when a branch of, say, tree B is cut and joined with tree A, when these two trees are brought together, something wonderful happens. It is not like putting two pieces of bricks. Nothing will happen. You'll stay here for 100 years, nothing will happen. But when you put these two trees together, something wonderful begins to take place. The life in tree A begins to flow into tree B. And also the life in tree B begins to penetrate into tree A. There is that mutual penetration, and eventually some fruits are born, and that fruit is not just from tree A, nor just from tree B, it's from tree AB, a fruit which we call hybrid, right? There are many fruits that we enjoy these days in the market. They are of the hybrid. It's a product of two kinds of trees, plants, joined together through grafting. So in nature, we have this phenomena to illustrate in the spiritual realm. When a person is baptized into the water, which signify the triune God into whom we were put, There is an organic union. Now we are put into Him, and He is being put into us. Something happens. Something organic. Something of life that joins us together. This is something truly mysterious, but it is a fact. We must be full of faith. When we baptize certain one into the water, we are putting them into this organic union with the triune God. Amen. When he arises from the water, he's no longer just that original form, just got wet only. But he is now joined with the triune God.
Amen.
Organically. That's why we heard, actually, after baptism, so many things happened. So many wonderful experiences. Because now this person has been brought into another realm, that he is joined organically with the triune God. The word into in 28:19 indicates union, as in Romans 6:3, Galatians 3:27, and 1 Corinthians 12:13. And number three, to baptize people into the name of the triune God is to baptize them into the spiritual and mystical union with Him. And number four, in Matthew 28:19, there is one name for the divine Trinity. The name is the sum total of the divine being, equivalent to His person. So the name is all-inclusive. A person may have certain status, certain position, certain history, but when you call that person by that name, all that he has, his position, his wealth, his status, all are included there. Here, the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are represented by a name. That name is a sum total of the person of the triune God. Everything about the triune God are represented here by the name.
Amen.
To baptize believers into the name of the triune God is to immerse them into all that the triune God is. I know in Christianity they have different practices about baptism. Some baptize people by just sprinkling some water. Some baptize people by waving a flag over them. And in all kinds of practices. And of course there's the immersion, people by immersing people into the water. I believe, properly speaking, people should be baptized through immersion. Because it is through immersion, your whole body, your whole person is put into the water. You and the water are now being joined together. Not just a few drops, but your whole person immersed in the water. You're wrapped up by the water. That's how we are. That's the experience that baptism should bring us into, is into that union, complete union with the triune God. Our entire being is being brought into the person of the triune God. And B says, God is three in one. God is three in one. Or sometimes we simply say 3-1. Maybe better, even 3-1. He is one in three, three in one. He is just 3-1. In Matthew 28:19, the Lord spoke of three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When he spoke here of the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, name is singular in the original text. This means that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are three, yet the name is one. How wonderful. You call him Jesus. You call him Father. Sometimes you may even call him Spirit. When you call on one, you get all three. All three bears one name.
Amen.
Because these three are inseparable. You call on Jesus, the Spirit came. The Father is also here. This one name, borne by all three parties. Isn't this wonderful? The name for three persons is really mysterious and reveals that God is three in one. I know in Christianity they practice, oh, we need to pray to the Father by the power of the Spirit, and then, assisted to, by the Son. As if they are praying to, three persons, and we always have to pray, direct our prayer to the Father. Because they are short of this kind of revelation. Dear Christians, our God, the triune God, are not three gods. They are three, one God. The triune God. They are three yet one. We call on the Lord Jesus. We get the Father. We get the Spirit. Along with the Son.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
I hope this is clear to us. This should be a light that is shining within us. When we call Jesus, we know we have the Father. We have the Spirit as well. All right? This name includes the three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Although God is uniquely one, yet there are three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. So I said, these three, although they are inseparable, but they are distinct. The Father is the one who plans. He is the source. The Son is the one who came to accomplish what the Father planned. And the Spirit as the reality to apply what the Father planned and what the Son accomplished. So these three have their particular characteristics. They are distinct, but they cannot be separated. There is just one God. And they are born by this, they just all bear this one name. One name. We call on that name, we receive and we experience all three. Now we come to the second point, second Roman numeral, as believers in Christ. Amen. Are you a believer?
Amen.
We are believers.
Amen.
We have been baptized into the process triune God.
Amen.
And last night, Brother Ricky pointed us to the John chapter 1 verse 12. As many as received him, they have authority to be called the children of God, to those who believe into his name. So our believing is our receiving. The moment when we believe into Jesus Christ, we receive God into us. We receive the divine person into us. But the Bible also teaches us one should not only believe, he should follow his believing by baptism.
Amen.
Right? Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. By believing, we receive the triune God into us. By baptism, we are being put into God, into the triune God. We receive the triune God by our believing, and we are put into the triune God through baptism.
Amen.
Now, by believing, he is in us. By baptism, we are in him. He in us, we are in him. Here we are, we have this wonderful union, right? He is in us and we are in him. But we are baptized not only into the triune God, but into the processed triune God. Our triune God has been processed. This word process probably is uniquely used by us in the Lord's recovery. We don't use this lightly to describe our triune God. Many Christians, they all say, God, why would God need to be processed? God is eternal. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is unchangeable, unchanging. How dare you say he is processed? Of course, we fully agree. In God's essence, he is unchangeable. He is unchanging. He is forever the same in his essence. Essentially, God is the same and same forever. But in his economy, in time, didn't this God come to become a man?
Amen.
Wasn't that a process? God lived on the earth for 33 and a half years. Can you imagine the very one who was walking in the land of Palestine was actually God himself? Walking there. Eating with the disciples. Doing the chores in his parents' home. Doing many menial things. That was the very God who created the universe in the very beginning. But one day in time, when he stepped into time, he became a man. For at least for those 33 and a half years, he went through a process.
Amen.
He picked up the human life. He lived a human living. And then at the end of his human journey, he went to the cross to be crucified. God was crucified.
Amen.
He said, absurd. How can God be crucified? Of course, God in his divinity cannot be crucified, but God as a man, he was being crucified. And then after 3 days, he resurrected. And then he ascended. Dear saints, isn't that a process? Although essentially, we could never say God has changed. He is forever the same. But economically, in this process, God has passed through different stages. In his becoming a man, he picked up humanity. He picked up all aspects of our human living. He knows what suffering is. He knows what hunger is. He knows what thirst is. Everything in human life, he passed through. And he knows what death is. He went to the cross to be crucified. These are all steps of his process. And at the end of that process, he resurrected from the dead. Praise the Lord for his resurrection.
Amen.
He resurrected and he changed his form. He was transfigured to become a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
That life-giving spirit caused our triune God, who is now processed and consummated, to become baptizable. If I may use the word baptizable. How can we baptize people into God if he is still as the one remains in the unapproachable light? How can we baptize people into that one? No, we could never do that. But thank the Lord, that very one who was once dwelling in the unapproachable light, far away from man. One day he came into time. He came to the earth. He put on flesh and blood. He became a man like you and me. He passed through all aspects of the human life. And then he was crucified on the cross. But in resurrection, he changed his form to become the life-giving spirit. The available spirit. Accessible spirit. That spirit is enterable. That spirit is receivable. It's in that spirit our triune God becomes baptizable.
Amen.
We can put people into this triune God. It's the process triune God that we are putting people in. He is now the Spirit. So available. So now, then point A says, the charge given in Matthew 28:19 was given by the Lord Jesus after he had entered into resurrection, which was the consummation of the process of the triune God. I'm so glad this verse of baptizing people into the triune God was not put in Matthew chapter 4 or Matthew chapter 1. No. It's at the very end of chapter of Matthew. The next to the last verse. We are told it is here after Jesus, the incarnate God, passed through all the processes and consummated in resurrection. It's at this point, he says, we can baptize people into the triune God.
Amen.
Because now, the triune God, through the processes, he becomes baptizable. He becomes someone into whom we can put people, to bring people into an organic union with him. This is marvelous. The triune God has passed through a process that began with incarnation, included human living and crucifixion, and consummated with resurrection. So, these are the steps of Christ that he passed through. His incarnation, his human living ended with crucifixion, and finally, resurrection. That is the consummation of the steps of Christ, of the processes that he passed through. So resurrection is very, very important. The resurrection is the consummation of all the processes. He says, in resurrection, Christ, the embodiment of the triune God, became the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
He became the life-giving Spirit. God was already the Spirit. In Genesis 1, we saw the Spirit of God was brooding over the waters. It was there 4,000 years before that time. Now, we say that Christ, it is after finishing the process in resurrection, he became the life-giving Spirit. He did not just bring in the Spirit. He became the Spirit. He became that enterable Spirit, that receivable Spirit, that baptizable Spirit. This is very important. In resurrection, this one, the embodiment of the triune God, Christ became the life-giving Spirit. Although some Bible students, they disagree. They say Christ is Christ, the Spirit is the Spirit. But here, at least, we have one verse. 1 Corinthians 15:45b, the last part. The last Adam became a life-giving Spirit. He became something. He became that Spirit. And he says, this Spirit is the consummation of the triune God for the believers to be baptized into the divine Trinity. Can you imagine, brothers and sisters, we all have been baptized into the divine Trinity. We can never participate in his Godhead as the one who created the universe. No. But this baptism, we have been put into a participation, into a union with this wonderful person of the triune God, represented by the name. We have been put into the triune God through His Spirit, the Spirit who is the consummation of this triune God.
Amen.
He says to be baptized into the person of the triune God is to be baptized into the all-inclusive, consummated Spirit who is the ultimate consummation of the process triune God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The process that Christ passed through has a consummation. That consummation, consummate step, was resurrection. And in that consummate step, He became something. He became a life-giving Spirit. So on the one hand, we have to say, well, the life-giving Spirit should be. It cannot be a different Spirit from the Spirit of God in Genesis. However, there's something more to this life-giving Spirit, because this life-giving Spirit is the very consummation, is the result after this very Christ passed through all the steps, all the processes. Yes, it is the same Spirit, but the Spirit plus something, plus humanity, plus the human living, plus the death He passed through, plus the resurrection He entered into. All these elements now have been added to that Spirit to become that life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
This is the Spirit into whom we were baptized to participate in the triune God.
Amen.
So we may say this Spirit is actually the consummation of this process and consummated triune God.
Amen.
Hallelujah, saints.
Amen.
I hope this is clear to you.
Amen.
When you see this, you have to jump. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Our triune God has been processed and consummated.
Amen.
He is now the Spirit.
Amen.
The life-giving Spirit, consummated Spirit, indwelling Spirit, all-inclusive Spirit. So available that we can have this organic union with the triune God.
Amen.
We can be one with Him and He can be one with us.
Amen.
So point one says, this is to be baptized into the riches of the Father, into the riches of the Son, and into the riches of the Spirit. Wow! What are the riches of the Father? Can you name some? What are the riches of the Father?
Life-giving!
Well, the Father's riches includes His love for us, His mercy upon us, His choosing of us, His predestination of us. Our Father has so many riches. How about the Son? The Son's riches. Numerous, too numerous. Right? He is grace. The grace of Christ. He is our food, our bread, our drink, our clothing, our dwelling place. Christ has, the Son has all these riches. And how about the Spirit? How about the riches of the Spirit? Can you name some, Jim?
He's the flowing water of life.
Good. Surely the Spirit is a flowing river.
Yeah.
Isn't He the reality?
Yeah.
Isn't the Spirit the power?
Yeah.
The Spirit has so many riches. All these riches, the riches of the Father, the riches of the Son, the riches of the Spirit, are ours by our being baptized into the triune God.
Amen.
Oh, as the baptized ones, we are now in an organic union with the triune God. Therefore, whatever the Father has, whatever the Son has, and whatever the Spirit has, have become ours.
Amen.
How about let's say two times hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, through this process and consummated triune God, which is the Spirit, into whom we have been baptized, we can participate, we can apprehend all that the triune God is.
Amen.
This is just unspeakable. Beyond words. All the riches in the triune God can be partaken of by us. That point F says, to be baptized into the name of the triune God is to be put into a mystical union with Him and to appropriate whatever God is into our being. I hope now you see Matthew 28:19 is such a profound verse. It is more than just a verse for us to go to preach the gospel by, to fulfill a commission. We are brought into such a rich, profound, mystical, spiritual union with the triune God. This is what the triune God desires, brothers and sisters, not only to preach the gospel per se, but eventually to bring people into such an organic union. God's desire is not just people be saved and spared from hell and judgment. God desires something more. He desires to have a dwelling place that consummately revealed at the end of the Bible, the New Jerusalem. That can only be brought forth through believers being brought into the triune God. And God being wrought into them.
Amen.
Through this consummated Spirit. Right? Who is the consummation of this process and consummated triune God. So this leads us to the third point. Christ is the center of the process, triune God. Our triune God was being processed mainly in the Son, Jesus Christ. The Father, He planned, He arranged, but the Son was the one who was sent by the Father to become incarnated, to live the human life, to die and be resurrected and ascended. It was in Christ, it was through Christ that he went through the process, right? When we talk about the process, we are particularly referring to God the Son, Christ, what He passed through. He picked up divinity. Of course, He has divinity. He picked up humanity. He picked up human living. He picked up the element of death and resurrection. This Christ, passing through the process, He is the center of this process, triune God.
Amen.
And at the end of that process, He was consummated to be a life-giving Spirit. In that life-giving Spirit, He brought together all the elements He picked up and deposited into that Spirit as part of that Spirit. You know, in reference, we have this 2 Corinthians 13:14, which is also, I would say, next to Matthew 28:19. In Matthew 28:19, we have the clear and definite presentation of this triune God, the God who is triune. But here in 2 Corinthians 13:14, we are shown the riches of this triune God for man's enjoyment. Here the triune God is presented in a way that is for our experience, for our enjoyment. Christ presented as grace, the grace of Christ. And God is presented as love, His love, the love of God. And then the Spirit is presented as the fellowship, the flowing forth, the transmission. These are all experienceable, all that we can partake, we can enjoy grace, enjoy love, enjoy this fellowship. Our triune God is enjoyable, is experienceable. The very triune God clearly presented in Matthew 28:19, now in 2 Corinthians 13:14, we are shown that He is actually enjoyable.
Amen.
As grace, as love, as fellowship. And here, Christ is the center of this process, triune God. Asa's process refers to the crucial steps through which the triune God has passed. We can boldly say today, our God, our triune God, has been processed.
Amen.
This is not blasphemy. We surely do not deny His eternal existence, His uniquely the same, eternally the same, but surely that economically He passed through a process. He is a processed triune God.
Amen.
Before His incarnation, God was unprocessed, having the divine nature, but not the human nature. Wasn't it right?
Amen.
But through incarnation, human living, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, the triune God was processed and consummated.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
He has been processed and consummated. Number two, in Revelation, the triune God is the processed and consummated triune God with divinity, humanity, human living, the all-inclusive death, the powerful resurrection, and the transcendent ascension.
Amen.
Well, here we are brought to another verse. This is Revelation chapter 1. A third verse where we are shown. This is by the Apostle John. We have the word of the Lord Jesus. In Matthew, we have the word by the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians, and now we have the word by the Apostle John in Revelation, where he tells us in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, he says, "Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is coming, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loves us and has released us from our sins by His blood."
Amen.
Here in this opening word of this final book of the Bible, Revelation, the Apostle John also opens up with the divine Trinity, showing us grace and peace came to us from the One who is, who was, and who is coming. Who is that? That is the Father. That is the eternal Father. And also from the seven spirits who are before God's throne for His operation. In these final days, surely, saints, we are in the age of revelation, aren't we? We are no longer in the age of the Gospels. That has passed. And neither are we merely in the age of the epistles. At best, we are surely toward the end of the age of the epistles. We are in the age of revelation. The final book, not only of the New Testament, but also of the whole Bible. And here, in this final book, the Apostle John reveals to us this precious divine Trinity. The Father, the one who is, who was, and who is to come. And the seven spirits before his throne. And God the Son, who is the faithful witness, the one raised from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. This is the one who is operating, moving within us. The very process and consummated triune God is operating in the church in these final days to produce something, to produce that ultimate consummation of God's economy, which is the holy city, the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Actually, not only the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John, even the Apostle Peter. You read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Peter also opens his epistle by presenting the triune God, the Father, the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, and by the sprinkling of the blood of his Son. Dear saints, it's so clear. The triune God, the divine Trinity, is the very basic structure of the whole Bible. All the New Testament writers, the main writers, they all reveal to us how important the divine Trinity is to us. Without the divine Trinity, without God being triune, I don't know what is the real meaning of our Christian life on the earth. How is God going to fulfill his eternal purpose? So, point B now, it says, the process and consummated triune God is the Spirit.
Amen.
This Spirit is not the same. Although in person, it's the same, it's the Spirit, as in Genesis 1. But now, the Spirit, as says in Revelation 22, verse 17a, what does it say? The Spirit and the Bride say, come. In this last chapter of this last book, we are shown the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, now is simply called the Spirit. The Spirit and the Bride. It did not say the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit and the Bride. It just said the Spirit and the Bride.
Amen.
The Spirit represents, actually includes, all the different designations of such a Spirit. Today, the Spirit in totality, in sum total, is just the Spirit representing the consummation of this process and consummated triune God. This is the Spirit that the Lord Jesus mentioned in John chapter 7, verse 39, where he told people, out of the innermost being of the believer shall flow rivers of living water, but this refers to the Spirit who was not yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified. That refers to his resurrection. So, when Jesus was on the earth, he did reveal that there is the Spirit which was not ready at that time, which was not yet at that time. Even though the Spirit was present in creation, in the Old Testament, but as far as the Spirit who can enter into the believers, who can flow out of the believers as rivers of living water, that Spirit was not yet at that time. Because Jesus was not yet glorified. The process was not completed yet. But today we can say the Spirit is here.
Amen.
Jesus is resurrected.
Amen.
He is glorified.
Amen.
The process has been completed.
Amen.
Now, this Spirit is simply the consummation of this process and consummated triune God. That is just the Spirit.
Amen.
That is just the Spirit. So the Spirit, when we talk about the Spirit, it is not just the third of the Trinity. We are talking about the Spirit who is the consummation of all the processes Christ passed through and to consummate, to become such a Spirit. So oftentimes we also use the term, our Christ is a pneumatic Christ. He is Christ as the Spirit. This Christ as the Spirit, the pneumatic Christ, is the center of the process triune God. The triune God has been processed and consummated to become the Spirit. Number one, the Spirit is the totality, the aggregate of all the elements of the titles of the Spirit of God. Here, all these verses have different expressions of the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of from the Father. We have all these different designations of the Spirit, but now at the end of the Bible, He is simply called the Spirit.
Amen.
All those elements are included. It's just like when you are someone prepared a drink, right? Whether it's the orange juice, lemonade, strawberry drink, pineapple juice, you put all the things in there, right? You simply call that the drink. The drink. It's a strawberry drink, it's a watermelon juice, it's a pineapple juice, everything, and you just call it the drink. When you drink the drink, you get everything. Today, God's Spirit is the Spirit.
Amen.
That includes the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jehovah, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. All these designations are included in the Spirit.
Amen.
The Spirit and the Bride say come.
Amen.
The Spirit is the very consummation of this process and consummated triune God. Number two, as the consummation of the process and consummated triune God, the Spirit is the blessing of God's New Testament economy. We know in the Old Testament, God blessed Abraham with the promise of the good land, which is a type of the all-inclusive Christ. But here in Galatians 3, that Paul tells us that God bless Abraham with the blessing of the promised Spirit. It says read you just to be accurate. In Galatians 3:14, in order that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing of Abraham refers to the good land, typifying the all-inclusive Christ. But here in verse 14, Paul tells us that is actually the fulfillment of the promise of the Spirit. The all-inclusive Christ is now the Spirit to become our blessing. The blessing of Abraham is just that promised Spirit.
Amen.
So today, when we say we are enjoying the all-inclusive Christ, we are experiencing the all-inclusive Christ, what does that really mean? We are enjoying, experiencing this Spirit as the blessing of Abraham. This Spirit, as the transfigured Christ, He is the reality of that all-inclusive good land.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, now we come to C. The triune God in Revelation is the building and builded God. You know, initially when I was preparing this message, I was, how is this point being added here? What does this consummated process and consummated triune God has to do with this building and builded God at the end of the Bible. But as I was before the Lord considering this, I begin to see something. When we talk about this all-inclusive Christ, now he is processed and consummated to be the Spirit. This Spirit is not merely for our enjoyment, which he is. He is not only for our satisfaction and rest, which he is. But he is such a Spirit, processed and consummated for the fulfillment, for the carrying out and fulfillment of God's eternal purpose, his eternal economy, which is to gain a building. And what is this building that God desires to have? It's a building through God dispensed, worked into man, and man being brought into God. We should never think of a building, just put people together, you know, coordinate together. That is not the genuine building. The genuine building is when God can be worked into us and we can be brought into God. That is the building. That is the oil poured upon the stone pillar. In Jacob's dream, in Genesis 28, God and man has to be mingled, eventually incorporated together to result in that building. We know the consummation of God's eternal economy is that building at the end of the Bible, the New Jerusalem. How can that New Jerusalem come into being? No other way but by us experiencing this very process and consummated triune God.
Amen.
Where Christ is the center.
Amen.
Christ is the focal point. This Christ who passed through all the processes to become such a life-giving Spirit, consummated, indwelling, all-inclusive, sevenfold intensified. It is through such a Spirit we can enter into such a mingling with the triune God.
Amen.
To result in this building, the triune God in Revelation, he is the building God and he is the builded God.
Amen.
At the end of Revelation, what we see in chapter 21, we see a holy city built with what? Built with gold, which signifies the divine nature of the Father. And it's built with what? Precious stones. The wall of precious stones. That signifies the Holy Spirit's transforming work. And it's built with what? Pearls. Of the 12 gates of the city. Signifying Christ's redeeming and regenerating work of Christ. The whole city, with the three basic materials, the gold, the pearl, the precious stone, signify the triune God.
Amen.
As the basic constituent of this city, of the New Jerusalem. This, you may say, this holy city is just the triune God.
Amen.
The triune God, as the Father, represented by the gold, and as the Son, represented by the pearl in the gates, and as the Spirit, represented by the precious stones, he is this holy city.
Amen.
This holy city is just the triune God.
Amen.
It's a building constructed with these materials. Let me read on. Number one says, the Bible consummates in the New Jerusalem, which is the very God who was in the beginning. In the beginning, God created, right? We have a creating God in Genesis 1:1. But what do we see at the end of the Bible, a holy city. In one message, Brother Lee told us about the progression of God in his revelation. He was first, well, he called him the bachelor God, right? He was the creating God. He was alone by himself. Although he was great and powerful, but he was alone. He was a bachelor God, but one day this bachelor God became an incarnated God. When he became a man, he became an incarnated God, and when he went to die for us on the cross, he was the redeeming God. He was the Lamb of God, redeeming. And then, after redeeming, he became, in resurrection, a life-giving spirit. He became the indwelling God. The bachelor God became an incarnated God, and who became the redeeming God, and also becoming the indwelling God. And eventually, at the end of the Bible, he became what? He became the incorporated God. The incorporated God, meaning that now, in God, man was being incorporated with him. He is in man and God. God and man are now not only joined together, mingled together, but even incorporated together. Amen. This incorporated God is a building God, and it's also a builded God. In the reference here, we have... I don't think I read it yet. Okay, sub-point A. The unique God is eventually enlarged and expanded into a city for his eternal expression. Have you ever thought that the New Jerusalem is actually God himself? It's not just a heavenly, it's not some kind of a mansion in the heaven. It is the very God himself, who is gold, pearl, precious stones. This is our triune God. And in his economy, God has become the new Jerusalem. After through all the processes. In the new Jerusalem, the triune God is wrought into his chosen and redeemed people. So on the one hand, these three basic elements, the gold, pearl, precious stones, refer to God himself. It also refers to these materials being worked into God's chosen people. Amen. Dear saints, aren't we golden? Not so bold to say, right? I know you don't look that golden outwardly. But at least there is a speck of gold in your spirit.
Amen.
God is in us.
Amen.
Right? You look into your spirit, we have to say, I'm golden.
Amen.
Amen. I am golden. Have we been redeemed? Regenerated?
Amen.
Something of the pearl has also been worked into us.
Amen.
Right? And also, how about precious stones? Are we? I know you are not transformed yet, fully. I'm not either. But we all are undergoing the process of transformation.
Yeah.
You're not the same as you were 20 years ago. Right? I mean, as imperfect as you are, you are still not the same as you were 20 years ago. Something of the Spirit through his work transforming you, making you precious stones.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, those three elements point to the triune God himself. It also points to us, the believers, under the working of the triune God. We have the gold, the pearl, and the precious stones, little by little, being constituted into our being. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, we have the story of David wanting to build a house for Jehovah. And God sent Nathan to tell David, no, you cannot build a house for me. I need to first build you a house. You will have a house. And it's out of your own house a seed will come forth. And that seed will build my house. Very meaningful. From that verse, we are shown we cannot build God's house or build the church, build the body of Christ directly. We have to first allow God to build himself into us. David needed God to build him a house. That means he needed God to first do something in him. And out of what God did in him, a seed will come forth. That seed is actually the builded God. The God who has been built into him will come forth as the seed, and that seed will build God's house.
Amen.
So, dear saints, strictly speaking, God does not build his house directly. God builds his house through first building himself into us, the chosen people. And it's through us, the chosen people, having God built into us, we build God's house.
Amen.
Here we are experiencing a building God and a builded God. We have God built into us. And with this God built into us, we can build God's house.
Amen.
Dear saints, how can God be built into us if you don't know him as the process and consummated triune God? If you only know him as the God far away, to whom you bow, you fear, God is not worked in, cannot work himself into you. In order for God to build himself into you, he has to be the Spirit. It's through the Spirit God is worked into us as the gold, the pearl, the precious stones, constituting us, his building, and we build God's house, and through God's building himself into us. When the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 16:18, he says, I will build my church. That was never fulfilled when Christ was on the earth. It was not until on the day of Pentecost, he became that consummated Spirit poured out upon the believers. There, for the first time, the first church was raised up in Jerusalem on the earth. The church was raised up, and the church in the last 2,000 years is still undergoing the process of building and finally to be consummated in Revelation as the new Jerusalem. It is through the Spirit, and it's as the Spirit, Christ carries out his building work. It's as the Spirit, he worked himself into us. He dispensed himself into us. He built himself into us to cause us, to make us the material to build his house. The thought here is deep and profound. I pray the Lord will grant us a new, renewed mind, enlightened understanding to see this is what Christ as the center of the process triune God mean. He is the Spirit. He is here building God's house. The process and consummated triune God as the source, the element, and the essence is building the church by building himself into our being. Listen to point B. Can we all read point B together, please?
God is to build his desire
to build himself
in Christ into our being and to build us to divinity and gradually come out on the ability to believe the new Jerusalem.
This is what God is doing today. In order to consummate this age, in order to bring in his kingdom, God must build himself into our being and also to build us into his being. the outcome of this will be the New Jerusalem. That will be the fulfillment of his economy. So we come to the last point. In the book of Revelation, we have the consummate revelation of the divine Trinity for the divine dispensing. The divine dispensing is God's imparting of himself into his chosen and redeemed people as their life, life supply, and everything. In the divine dispensing, the Father is the fountain, the Son is the spring, and the Spirit is the flow.
Amen.
Today, praise the Lord, our triune God has been processed and consummated to be the Spirit.
Amen.
This Spirit is the building and builded God to consummate the New Jerusalem. This Spirit is the flowing triune God mentioned in John 4. He is that flowing river flowing out from the throne in Revelation 22. Flowing God into us. Every day when we open our being to him, you don't have to worry about whether I'm talking to the Father, the Son, or the Spirit. This triune God is now consummated as the Spirit.
Amen.
When we call on his name, as we heard last night, Lord Jesus. Sometimes you may even say, Abba, Father. Oh, the Spirit. We call on his name. He flows into us. As the Spirit, he flows. He is dispensing. This divine Trinity is for dispensing. As the Spirit, he is so available. He is so accessible. He is even baptizable. We can put people into the triune God. Saints, this Christ, this all-inclusive Christ we are learning about, he is truly the center, the focal point of this process, triune God, who is now the Spirit for us to enjoy, for us to partake, for us to be built up with, to become that eternal city, the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm just thankful. I feel so blessed I'm here.
Amen.
You are so blessed. You are here.
Amen.
You are hearing these things.
Amen.
We are now in this age of revelation.
Amen.
We are now in the stage of consummation.
Amen.
It's so simple to just call on his name. Let's call together two times. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. You have the triune God dispensing to you. Okay, let's spend the next 30 seconds or so, pray with the one near you, and then we can have some response.